everybody's laughing. Kind of party next week, you'll say I was there when it happened. Coming up on midnight, about time to get gone. And then the DJ starts to play her favorite song. You slow dance for 3 minutes or so. And then she whispers, baby, let's go. And then she slides in and she gives you the green light. You hold off till you turn on the headlights. And someday when you're looking back on your life at the memories, this is gonna be. You hold her close and you'll never forget how her heartbeat feels. No, you never will. Cause someday when you're looking back on your life at the memories, this is gonna be one of those nights.
This is a special report from ABC News, Supreme Court rulings. I'm Michelle Franzen. Key decisions from the high court today, including upholding a ban on homeless encampments. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has details.
The high court says even in cities where there are no beds and shelters, it does not constitute cruel and unusual punishment to fine people with no place to sleep but on the street or in camps. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote for the conservative majority that a community should have the right to set its own policy for homelessness and judges shouldn't dictate it. Liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor began her lengthy dissent by writing, "Sleep is a biological necessity, not a crime."
Justices in another case ruling that the Justice Department must show proof that January 6 defendants charged with obstruction were directly involved. And the Supreme Court upended a four-decades-old case known as Chevron, which allowed the federal government more leeway to regulate environmental and consumer issues. The opinion says courts must decide if agencies exceed their authority. This is ABC News. The Texas Supreme Court today upholding the state ban on gender-affirming care for transgender youths. The justices, all Republicans, rejecting pleas from parents that it violates their right to seek medical care for their children. Federal probes now into a dangerous air at a New England airport.
Southwest, are you on frequency?
When Southwest Flight 4805 took off from Portland, Maine on Tuesday morning from runway 29, not only was it on a closed runway, it almost hit an airport ground vehicle that was still on that runway. Air traffic controllers can be heard in this audio from liveatc.net warning the pilots.
Just so you know, there is a vehicle on the runway.
But the tower could not get in contact with the pilots. The plane later landed safely in Baltimore. The NTSB and FAA are investigating. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Air traffic at London's Gatwick Airport halted for nearly an hour today after a Boeing 777 was stuck on the main runway with hot brakes. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Holiday Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from June 28th through July 8th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 76 visit staples.com/print for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. Recall effort against Speaker Robin Voss is rejected.
On a 4-2 vote Thursday, the Wisconsin Elections Commission found that organizers failed to collect enough valid signatures on the recall petition. Democratic appointees Commissioner Mark Thompson and Chair Ann Jacobs voted against a motion from Republican appointee Don Millis, which found the petition to be insufficient. At the Capitol, Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The decision means Voss won't face a recall unless organizers can get a court to intervene. the chair of the State Assembly Committee that oversees Wisconsin prisons, is calling for a public hearing. Republican Representative Michael Schrah of Oshkosh says that it's needed after the fatal assault on Lincoln Hills school counselor Corey Prue and the disturbing deaths of inmates at Waupun Correctional Institution.
I mean, starvation and dehydration, those are pretty serious charges and concerns. And now in light of what's happened at Lincoln Hills, I think that the legislature is, you know, definitely going to have to step up.
Schrah hopes to schedule the hearing for the second week of July at the Capitol in Madison. A northern Wisconsin man faces charges for damaging a police squad car earlier this week.
Lincoln County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to Bell Road in Tripoli regarding a disturbance involving a very intoxicated male. Upon arriving, deputies were able to quickly locate the suspect, who they handcuffed and searched without incident. The suspect became increasingly uncooperative as they approached the squad car, so deputies placed him under arrest and then positioned him in the vehicle for transport to the Lincoln County Jail. He somehow freed himself from his seat belt and kicked out the two rear windows, causing substantial damage. Pepper spray was used to gain control of the individual. The suspect faces multiple charges. Steve Dillon, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and cool today with high temperatures scraping just 70 degrees. Scattered light rain on and off, becoming moderate at times. And storms are expected to spark up this evening, bringing some heavy downpours and high winds. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 66 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Reaction to the debate that took place between President Biden and former President Trump last night. And we will also get to market action ahead of the USDA reports, the persistently wet weather. And we should try to figure out why used cooking oil is worth more than unused cooking oil.
Live from the pre-report hub via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer and Sean Haney. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheck from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, buddy. Yeah, you recovered from last night's events?
I have. Yeah.
Everything's good?
It took three cups of coffee, and I hit the snooze button twice, but I'm here now, and I'm good to go, baby. What about you?
Good. Yeah, I am ready to go. There's a lot to talk about around the debate that took place between Biden and Trump last night. I cannot wait to get Jim Wiesmeyer in here and get some of the conversation going with Jim. I think his perspective, he's as wonky as they come in my book. Okay. This guy pays attention to what is happening in Washington, whether it be at the presidential level or at the, you know, at the corner office of a USDA staffer. Jim pays attention. And to get his reaction and be able to get his reaction to the debate from last night, I think it's going to be really, really cool. And then Haney. We'll get Haney in here.
This would be great.
Can we call it an outsider's view?
I think we can. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to save it.
I'm going to save it.
I'm not going to get into it right now. Otherwise,
it could
really drag out here. Hey,
let me distract you. Is that something shiny out your window?
It is. And what the shiny thing out my window is a wet patio.
And we're back on track.
Yeah. The forecast was for a half an inch.
Yeah.
Okay. The forecast was for half an inch, and we've had 2.25 overnight.
Oh, now 2.25?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Earlier, it was an inch and a quarter.
Yeah, I saw that message.
Right, right. We've added an inch to it since then. It's
wow. It's still going?
It's still raining. And it's starting to slow down. It is okay. Definitely slowing okay. down. But it is pretty wild out there.
Yeah.
Mm. We've got to talk about that. We've got to talk about the USDA reports. We've got a lot of ground to cover on the free. Let's get to it.
Well, let's talk weather first. Severe thunderstorms may develop from parts of the Central Plains into parts of the Middle and Upper Mississippi Valley today. It might, Chip. Large hail.
It might.
Large hail and damaging winds are the primary threats, gang, as well as a few tornadoes, which are possible. Yeah. Heat will continue across the Southern Plains for the remainder of the week with several record-breaking highs possible.
Yeah, but and here's the deal. That forecast that you just mentioned is for later today. It's not for what has happened overnight. There is still the potential for some very heavy rains in the upper Midwest yet today.
Yep, that's right. Well, USDA will release its acreage and grain stocks reports at 11 a.m. Central Time today. The acreage report will feature planted and harvested acreage estimates for principal crops with markets primarily focused on corn, soybeans, wheat, and cotton. Because of the timing of NASA's survey work, the data will not account for recent flooding in areas of the northwestern Corn Belt. And, Chip, can we take that as a recipe for a resurvey, at least in some areas?
Yeah I think that's probably accurate. And you know, the other thing is most of the crop was planted. What's happened since then is it's gotten washed out. We're not going to replant it at this point. So it's lost and failed acres is what we really need to account for. And that will come in the FSA data that we will get in the middle of August.
All right. Well, the U.S. dollar index was slightly weaker, with the euro, British pound, and Swiss franc all firmer against the greenback. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note slightly higher, trading around 4.3% ahead of the PCE data, with a mixed tone in global government bond yields. And as far as that data goes, in May 2024, the U.S. Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index remained unchanged from April, marking the smallest change in 6 months and aligning with forecasts. Goods prices decreased by almost a half a percentage point, while service prices increased by 0.2%. The core PCE index, excluding food and energy, rose by 0.1 percentage point. Cash cattle remained limited Thursday, though packer interest built, suggesting higher cash prices could be seen again this week. Meanwhile, the uptick in the CME lean hog index and pork cutout proved to be temporary, as both resumed their recent downturns after one day of gains. Oil prices were higher Thursday as Middle East tensions continued to mount. Cross-border strains between Israel and Lebanon's Hezbollah have been escalating, fanning fears that a widening war could draw in other countries, including major oil producer Iran. I would say Iran is already in it via its proxies. Chip?
Yeah, I think you're not probably right. That is 100% right.
Yeah. We'll get into this. Top Democrats are growing increasingly worried about the 2024 race following President Joe Biden's debate performance, which led some to question whether he should continue as the party's nominee. I'll leave that there. let's see. In Argentina's Congress approved President Javier Milei's signature pro-business reforms in a final vote, an even more significant win, the approval of a return to income taxes, giving the government room to reach its fiscal targets. Argentina.
Yeah. The reason I'm chuckling at the top Democrats are growing increasingly worried. No, they're not. They were most worried 2 minutes after the start of that debate last night. That's when they were most worried. That's when they pushed the panic button. All right, let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal Sport. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
You know, maybe it would have made more sense to put Biden and Trump behind a grill and just let them do a little cooking, little grilling, hash things out, talk about life and business. That might have been better than what we saw last night.
Maybe. A lot of good things can happen behind a grill.
That's exactly right. And it happens at Pork Expo all the time.
Well, I love going around and getting a chance once in a while to, you know, sample a few things, because there's always like, there's a lot of interesting grilling that goes on back there. Yeah. Big barbecue teams come in. But I heard of a really fun story this year that I posted about this week about the guys who grill for United Animal Health, and they're actually their own employees. One of their employees, what used to be a part of one of the barbecue teams when they had the competition at the World Pork Expo years ago. And he said, why don't we just do our own grilling instead of, you know, hiring somebody to do this? So over time, he's kind of built up a team, and there's four guys from United Animal Health who grill over 2,500 pounds of meat during World Pork Expo, not only for their customers, but also, you know, they've just kind of said, hey, if people come by and want to eat here, we're going to keep the door open because we want people to see about all the great things you can do with pork, and we want to help be advocates for our industry. And that's just one thing they're doing. Well, and it was a pretty cool story.
Not only is it a cool story that they are doing this, but people stand in line at United Animal Health to get some of those ribs.
They sure do.
They're that good. They are that good. They do a great job. Thank you, Jennifer. Get more on this story and a whole lot more. Go to www.porkbusiness.com. Free for all is coming your way. We are going to start with the spectacle that we saw last night in that presidential debate. Farmers are watching rates and looking for their best financing options. Here to talk with us about that is FBN Finance Sales Director for FBN, TJ Wilson. TJ, share what the current market looks like to you and how FBN Finance can help farmers with their land financing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rates continue to be volatile here over the last few weeks with the recent Fed decision and them hinting that rates are going to go lower, but maybe not in the near term. Farmers can definitely keep that in mind, and we're happy to be here to help them look at what the best financing option is for them overall on their land.
Outstanding. How does someone decide which loan term is going to be best for them for their situation?
Yeah, every operation is different. Here at FBN Finance, we're really focused on the family farmers, and we try to take a unique approach to each farmer's operation. Our team has an average tenure of over 15 years of ag finance experience, and we really try to lean on that expertise to figure out the best financing solution to them. The team works to understand their operation and really provide them the best loan tools for them. And we're here to partner with them and for them through their journey. FBN Finance has committed over $2 billion in funds over the last 4.5 years to farmers.
You know, experience is something that we need to lean on when we're getting into this. How can someone get in contact with the experience on your team?
Yeah, we try to provide a simple online application so you can really get the financing based on your time. You can get that started by going to fbn.com/agritalk or call one of our lenders directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D. Right now, our AgriTalk listeners can fill out a form and speak to one of our loan advisors, or call directly and mention AgriTalk, and you're eligible to save $500 on your closing costs on a land loan, $250,000 or more.
Fantastic, TJ. Thank you so much. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric spray-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric spray-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedamh.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It's Friday morning. That means it is time for the free-for-all. Davis Michelson is here.
Hey-o.
Are you ready for this?
Am I not?
I think you are.
I think I am.
Let's get this thing going. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, Chip. Great to be here. Lots to chat about.
Yep. That is absolutely true. But we have got to save the opening comments on what we saw happen last night in the debate between President Biden and former President Trump. We've got to leave the opening comments for pro farmer policy analysts, Washington guru, my shining light out there in D.C. for all things that we need to figure out.
Bring him in already. What are we doing?
Jim Wiesmeyer.
Actually, I had to come up to the room because we got a major decision from the Supreme Court that overturned the 40-year-old Chevron doctrine.
Right.
We can get into that later. We'll get into that later.
I got to hear it. What's your thoughts? Yeah.
Let me just say, bottom line, Biden lost. I'm not quite sure Trump won, but Biden clearly lost. That was my first instinct. And it was really on the style as opposed to the substance of that debate. Like you said, Chip, I think you nailed it. The first few minutes, and as soon as he started to garble in the Medicare topic, he lost the debate early. He lost the debate on lack of style.
Yep. GM.
After watching that, Chip, you wouldn't let President Biden run the planter. Never mind run the country.
Yeah.
That's right. That was epically poor.
You don't let him run the planter is because you're afraid he's going to get hurt.
Exactly.
And
they wanted this. The Biden camp pushed for that to happen last night. It's not like they were coaxed into it. That's the part that is mind-boggling, how epically bad the strategy is. I almost buy into there's some sort of master plan to force him to make the decision to back out and find a better candidate. Like that was Trump had to say nothing last night. All you had to do was watch Biden and hear what he said or didn't say.
Yeah, right. I don't really think so. I think when they accepted that the debate, the Biden's people knew that he has been consistently behind, although not by a lot, in most of those swing states, and they needed a game changer. And they thought that the debate, it was a Hail Mary, but they thought that he would rise to the occasion, much like he did in the State of the Union address, but he didn't have a teleprompter. He couldn't have notes. He had a cold. You could hardly hear him sometimes on it.
Yeah.
And so, no, I think that this was an attempt by his handlers to pull ahead of Trump in those key swing states, and it just failed.
Here's what's happened in the swing states. Frank Lutz had one of his focus groups watch the debate. 14 people, undecided voters from swing states. 12 said, I'm going with Trump. One was undecided still, and the other one went with Biden. So talk about a gamble that has epically backfired immensely in their face. Yes.
Okay. I tried to prepare for events like this by watching as many different opinions and just try to get, and the most liberal commentators out there leading up to this were the ones that were saying President Biden is as sharp as he has ever been. The man is obviously fit for the role. Today, they are saying, thank God it's June and not October. Which makes me think what Haney said about the conspiracy might have something to it. They are openly saying, thank God it's June and not October.
Yep.
They held the debate in June so that they can throw him under the bus and get a new candidate in.
The Democrats are, number one, Biden has to stem the decline within 24 hours. He doesn't have much time. Two, The Democrats are concerned about the downstate impacts on this,
yeah.
the ballot. The representatives and senators up for re-election. Yeah. That's why the panic, the self-described panic. It was the Democratic pundits who started the analysis within 5 minutes of that debate. But now you got to watch the polls a week, probably 2 weeks from now, to see the independent candidates, to see if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gains in the polls, and whether or not Trump gets any bump, and if so, how long lasting.
Well, you know, and based on the timing, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the down ballot issues that you mentioned, Jim, I think they're unbelievably real, because it is clear that those people have been hiding the truth about and lying to the American public about the ability of our president to lead this country.
Yeah, that's where you throw somebody under the bus if you think you're going to go with him.
Yeah.
Now, having said all this, I think if you're on the Trump team this morning, you're like, why did we do this debate?
Yeah.
Because there's a part of you that is like, hey, we clearly won.
Right.
Worst case scenario is the Democrats actually do figure it out, and they convince Biden he's got to step down. They do find a different candidate. You look at most polls, Trump versus somebody else, it isn't very good for Trump. His best probability of winning is versus the current president.
Right.
So there's probably in some ways there's like strategic regret across the board that anybody did that last night.
It's absolutely just fascinating how it is all playing out. But Haney, I think you bring up a very important point. The most conservative, most MAGA, most whatever you want to, however you want to describe it, the biggest Trump supporters out there, okay? The biggest Trump supporters out there, they were a little lower key after last night's conclusion than what I anticipated they would be. Of course they were. Oh, he was very strong on the policies. He was very strong in his performance. He was very strong physically. He showed that he can handle the job. They pointed out all of what I think are kind of obvious points. But they were not absolutely over the moon with his performance. If I was Trump, I'd be sending them a message right now that, nope, it doesn't matter who the next guy is, there's no way we're having another debate. That's what I'd be doing if I was on Trump's team.
Well, from
the measure of success for him was just not to set his own hair on fire. If that was the measure of success going into the debate, Mr. Trump performed exceeded expectations even.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's all he had to do was play it cool, and he did.
From a debating perspective, I really don't think Trump did that well myself. Look at the last 2 minutes in which you have to summarize what you want to say. It was not structured at all. He didn't look ahead to what Americans, why they should vote for him. I just don't think that he got that independent voter back in his camp after his performance last night. That's just my opinion.
Yep, they both had an opportunity in their closing statements to leave an impression that could have changed the tone of everything. Biden could have said, this guy is a convicted criminal, this guy, J6. He could have just continued to pound on the issues that we know plays with Biden supporters and some independents. He could have pounded on those two issues alone and had a better close. And he didn't mention them. And then Trump could have taken those last 2 minutes, and instead of beating up on the guy that can't handle the job, he could have looked forward and talked with a positive attitude about where this country is going. And I kept feeling in the final 2 minutes in Trump's closing statements, I felt like he was going to bring up golf again. That is not the feeling that I should have had during the closing statements of that debate last night. And that's what I was thinking. Oh, my God, he's going to bring up golf.
I agree.
Holy smokes, you guys. What have I said leading up to this? Number one, these are the presumptive candidates. What are the odds that that there will be a replacement? We got to stay on this for just a little bit longer. We got to. What are the odds that Biden is going to be replaced?
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. July milk down 11 to 1945. August down 20 to 2004. September down 12 to 2023. October milk down 10 to 2020. Meanwhile, live cattle markets and feeder cattle markets mostly lower. Cash trade did not develop very well this week, and that helped to lead to pressure in the markets as the trades decided to take profits. Hogs, though, were mostly higher. Strength in some of the pork cutouts, short covering, and also a little bit of strength in cash helping to support prices. June live cattle down 67 cents to 193.50. August feeder cattle down $1.35 to 259.30. July hogs up 12 cents to 89.57. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets and soybean and wheat all mostly lower as USDA raised the corn planted acres by 1.4 million acres. That was above the trade guess, lowered soybean areas by 400,000 and lowered wheat by 250,000. Really, though, it was that corn number that really helped to pressure the markets. As new crop corn down 12 and a half to 421 and a quarter. New crop beans down 1 1/4 to 1103 and a half. Chicago wheat, July down 5 1/2 to 554 and a quarter. Minneapolis wheat, July up 2 1/4 to 613. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnikin.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It's the free-for-all. We've got Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Real Agriculture's Sean Haney, and our very own Davis Michelson. I'm your host, Chip. Okay, we're talking about the debate. We need to stay on it here just a little bit more. I'm looking at my notes on this, you guys, and they're you know, we said some. Jim made the point first. It may not be that Trump actually, you know, stepped out and won. He just didn't lose. All right. And Biden obviously lost the debate just on style points. Style points alone, right, Jim?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Some of the missteps that took place, Biden's were obvious. I feel they were absolutely obvious. But some of the missteps by President Trump last night, you guys, I'm just going to say, when they started talking about the immigration issues, former President Trump mentioned that you know, the millions of people coming across the border, Jim, did he really say they're here to take black jobs?
Yes,
he did. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Holy smokes, you guys!
But he also didn't answer two specific questions. He just totally disregarded them, which, again, from a pure debating perspective, is a point for Biden. But again, it's the appearance, the gravel voice that Biden had, et cetera. But now, you know, what I'm going to be watching, Chip, are the vast proponents of Biden, like the Morning Joe program on MSNBC, yep. Rachel Maddow, Ruth Marcus, the Biden writer for the Washington Post. If they start being negative, much like Walter Cronkite when he came out against the Vietnam War, if you lose those, you're gone.
Yep.
You're gone. So that's my next test.
One of the most liberal has already said, you know, he's the reason that I said that I brought it up. That he's the one that said, thank God this is June and not October. The biggest supporters are already turning on him. They've thrown him under the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I tuned in, I watched it on YouTube, and it was CNN was streaming it to YouTube. That's where I watched it. And I thought, oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah. I was quite surprised. The moderator actually saved Trump from a pretty sticky question. Biden looked him square in the face and said, will you renounce the January 6th people? Will you renounce what happened there?
And the moderator, let him out.
I'm sorry, we've got another question.
Yeah.
He never had to answer that. I thought if any place, it could have been tough for Trump. You know, that's where he's, okay, do you renounce those people who supported you so fervently? And he didn't have to answer.
Right.
To me, that says the moderator.
So
I don't know, what do you want to call it? Fairness? They're running out of time. I don't even know. Dodged a bullet there, if you ask me.
Probably not paying attention, just thinking about the next question that needed to be asked.
It's a problem. I mean, yes.
So, Jim, the question that I had at the end of the last segment, is there going to be a replacement for President Biden on the Democrat ticket?
I, you know me, Chip, I hate to delay any decision, but as I said, I think Biden has 24 hours to stem the decline, and I want to see if Democratic leadership starts going against him. So I do think it's too soon for that. I really do.
Okay.
But what does he do? Backflips? Read the alphabet backwards? What exactly could he do in the 24-hour period to make up for how he showed himself on live television last night? That's a part of his. It's not like he made a gaffe and said something incorrectly. It was the overall picture and the body of work last night that's really difficult to overcome. And the problem is, it's really at this point, based on the stage of those primary votes, it's really up to him whether or not he steps down or not, is my understanding. And so, you know, most of what you read, that's a pretty small club of people that would be able to, you know, have that talk with him. The Obamas, obviously his wife, to say, sorry, like, Joe. It's like, maybe we got to go a different direction here for the best of the party.
Well, the election analyst expert that I quoted in Pro Farmer's report on this, David Wasserman, said last night, this debate is making abundantly clear that Biden's insistence on running for another term has gravely jeopardized Democrats' prospects to defeat Trump.
Yeah.
Period.
100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Dave. And then Amy Walter.
Not surprisingly, Wasserman's got the good read on it.
Yeah, and Amy Walter, who he works with, trailing in the polls, Biden needed Thursday night's debate to help change the trajectory. His campaign's hope was that this debate would move the focus away from Biden's shortcomings and on to Donald Trump's many liabilities. But instead of a reset, Thursday's night's debate only served to remind voters of Biden's weaknesses, especially his health and stamina. The problem for Biden is that he has more than just swing voters to worry about now. He has a base enthusiasm problem. Last night's performance did nothing to persuade those apathetic voters. And I think that's crystal clear impacts there.
Yep.
For a lot of people, think about the history of former President Trump. And for a lot of people, he's not exactly a great candidate. It just shows you how poor of a candidate President Joe Biden is for the 24 election. Like, it's actually outrageous. It's amazing to watch, and it's high drama for us political wonks that love talking about this. But it's incredible.
Yeah, RFK Jr. is going to his support is going to get into double digits now, isn't it?
It could well, and you know, he was doing a mini debate the same questions last night. So
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to me to see some of these polls out, I guess, in a few days. But it does take a while. But that'll test the one whether or not Trump actually gets a bump or whether independents get the bump.
Right. Okay. Jim, let's shift gears. Tell us about the Supreme Court ruling that was out this morning.
Wow, it's a bombshell. They overturned the 40-year-old Chevron doctrine, and it's going to limit federal regulatory power. Now, if you recall that it was established in 84, it directed the courts to defer to federal agencies, quote, reasonable interpretations of ambiguous laws. And, you know, it was split along the ideological lines of the court. Now, it's going to have far-reaching implications, Chip. I'm writing a special report for Pro Farmer. And it'll include environmental protection, workplace safety, consumer protections. I'm already being flooded with emails from biofuel sector people. Will this impact the renewable fuel standard program that's already thrown up in courts, as you well know? And it's just going to reduce the power of unelected bureaucrats and increase accountability. That's the bottom line. It's a major shift in administrative law, and it's going to have broad impact.
Well,
Jim,
you go back to the court case with NPPC on Prop 12. And the ruling that they had at that time basically said, we're tired of Congress not doing your job. Do your job on this. Isn't that what this is? This is reflective of that same attitude, isn't it?
Well, it's the case that led to this decision was the Atlantic herring fishermen who challenged regulations imposed by the National Marine Fisheries Service because they were fed up with their interpretations of this. So it's also this thing where the executive branch is perceived to have gotten too much control, Chip.
Yeah.
And they want it back to, you can say in this case, Congress, the codification of the intent of things like that. And it's a victory for business interest and conservative legal groups. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Very good.
But it will lead to more interpretive power to the courts. So you got to watch that. So you're going to have inconsistent rulings and increased litigation over agency regulation. So this is activated more court challenges, is my initial conclusion.
Okay. Yeah, the story is not over. We're going to be hearing a lot more about this going forward, because that's exactly what my read was too, Jim, is that just all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. Now it opens up us to be able to challenge this or that, and we're going to have a whole redefining process of what's allowed and what's not.
Well, and it will put pressure on lawmakers to get out in front and codify the intent of some of the laws and rules that are out there that they have passed previously, correct?
Be specific. Yes.
Yeah, be specific. Exactly. Be specific. Get rid of the mud and bring some clarity to the situation is the whole bottom line of this. And it, to me, it is telling lawmakers to be lawmakers and bureaucrats to be the enforcers of the law, not the interpreters or the writers of laws. And It may create some volatility out there for a while, I guess, Jim and Sean and Davis, but I think the end result is going to be a positive result for us going forward. Wow, we are down to the last segment of this week's Free for All. We're going to hit it hard. We've got USDA reports. We've got rain, rain, rain. We'll get it covered next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durant.
Kenny Siebold is the Senior Director of Field Research and Development for Valent USA. He joins us right now. Kenny, sustainability efforts have become a priority for many operations out there. What are some of the sustainability trends that you have identified?
From what we see, when we're looking at long-term sustainability, really, I think the most important thing to think about comes down to the soil. It really comes down to something when you're trying to look at an operation that you want to hand off to the next generation. Building and maintaining a healthy, fertile soil is a huge part of that long-term picture.
Gotcha. So how are farmers adjusting their practices? Fewer tillage passes. What are they doing with their chemical applications?
If you're thinking about things that are going to support healthy soils, minimizing your passes, conservation tillage it's been around for a while, but definitely kind of catching and moving forward. We hear about biodiversity, but I think more importantly, like protecting and maintaining organic matter, for example. So planting cover crops, the things that are going to help reduce erosion, keep the organic matter up and the biodiversity up.
Yeah, absolutely. What does Valent USA offer to help farmers reach some of those sustainability targets?
We have a lot of different tools in our tool chest that growers can use as part of what I would say a sustainable growing system. And I think what makes it difficult, there's a lot of noise in the background, right? There's a lot of different talk and a lot of different things around sustainability. And so sometimes understanding how those tools can fit into a sustainable program that you develop for your farm can be difficult. So we sat down as a team and developed a science-based set of criteria that we call the Sustainable Solutions Criteria. And it has 8 distinguishable icons that are aligned on key farm practices that include things like reduced tillage, cover cropping, and then other attributes that would help a grower reach their sustainability goals.
Excellent. Where can listeners go for more information on that, Kenny?
Valent.com. That's VALENT.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Kenny. That is Kenny Siebold, Senior Director of Field Research and Development for Valent USA.
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedamh.com.
All right, we're going to have to go speed round here in the final segment of this week's Free for All. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio's Sean Haney, Davis Michelson, and me, your host, Chip Flory. Okay, earlier this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact, we had Kurt Kavorek, the VP Federal Affairs, Clean Fuels Alliance America, on the show. We talked about the Clean Fuels petition for EPA to reconsider some RFS volumes 2024-25. And then, Jim, we also got to the used cooking oil situation. Now, I just want, you know, something is wrong with a situation when it gets upside down. And the fact that used cooking oil is worth more than unused cooking oil makes this situation upside down. There's got to be a way to quote unquote fix this whole used cooking oil situation, Jim.
Yeah, this is going to have to be modified, because I'm telling you, other than the debate and not this Chevron, the other leading emails and telephone calls I'm getting is on used cooking oil. And
yeah,
farmers, the industry people are so upset of how different countries are taking us for patsies that they've elevated their interests. China, Indonesia, Brazil, etc. And they've had it. And you saw that on June the 20th, the letter, bipartisan group of powerful senators writing the White House and others in the administration about this decision about adulterated used cooking oil in China using a palm oil, etc. So I think this story has more than a few legs, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. I go all the way. You know, this has been going on and developing for a long time. I mean, it was probably 3 months ago. It was Dan Bossi at Ag Resource Company that just kind of threw the whole situation out there when he said, you know, it's kind of strange that you can throw a hot dog into a tanker full of cooking oil and call it used and make it eligible for some of these tax incentives.
Yeah.
It just is, it needs to be corrected. And hopefully the lawmakers can bring some clarity and make it happen in short order here. I don't know if they can or not, but they need to make it happen. Haney, what's your take?
It comes up in every single market interview I've been doing here for the past month, I would say. And again, you want tax incentives in place to incentivize certain behaviors. I'm not exactly sure this is what they had in mind when they came up with some of these rules. That's just a fact. Right. It needs to be fixed and fast.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. We get reports today. History tells us that this is one of the most volatile days of trade for corn and soybeans. It may not be the most, but it's got a history of being an extremely volatile day of trade. And that extremely volatile day of trade is going to be getting started in about 6 minutes when we get the USDA quarterly grain stocks and acreage report. Jim, it's a huge day.
Yeah, and of course, now with the impact of these floods, too, you're going to have some interesting follow-ups on this one. So, we're going to – acreage, and you said before, grain stocks is always a surprising report.
Yeah.
And market has been lulled to sleep, I think, a little bit about the potential of the size of corn and soybean crops. But from the members writing in at Pro Farmer on the fate of this year's corn crop, it doesn't look good, Chip, period.
No, there are some real issues out there with it and holes like we haven't seen for a couple of years. It's not unprecedented. We know what kind of damage is being done out there and the kind of impact that it has on the national average yield. We know that because of the data that we've collected on Crop Tour. So we'll collect it again.
And think about how quickly the narrative has changed here in 3 weeks. What are we, 3 weeks into getting those crop condition reports? And
that
first report, how much was good to excellent? What, 85% or whatever it was?
75%?
Yeah. 75%? The narrative is changing fast. We also had an acreage report out from Stats Can this week.
Yes.
A lot in line, 22 million acres of canola. Spring wheat was 18.94 million. Spring wheat down slightly from last year. But a crop that's in pretty good condition. It's been cool. It's been wet. Yeah. It's really benefited those cereals and the canola. But we're going to need some heat here eventually to finish it.
Right.
It's in good shape.
Right. HPAI was confirmed in two more dairy herds in Sioux County, Iowa. We're looking at some assistance for lost production. But the conversation that we had with Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nag on Tuesday, I believe it was, Tuesday or Wednesday? I can't recall. Davis?
I think it's Tuesday.
Tuesday. Tuesday.
Yeah,
I think it was Tuesday.
Sure.
Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nag. Secretary Nag indicated that he is going to be pushing for assistance for to help cover the cost of cows that have died after being infected with HPAI. That's a twist, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah. We have said before, this issue, now that you're testing more, it's going to grow. And the calls for aid, because I think that's been more impactful on the negative way than initial reports suggested. So this is the first of several steps that's going to have to be made.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt that. And I want to throw this out there. The House Ag Committee really upped its meme game this week. I mean, they're throwing some stuff out there that I haven't seen before, and they're throwing it straight at Stabenow, saying, bring the language. Let's see the text to your farm bill. I don't know if it's going to work or not, Jim.
She's hiding some stuff, apparently, the scoring by titles and how much she is spending on her bill. And I don't blame the House Ag Committee for this.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Haney, thank you so much for making time for us. Good stuff today, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, Canada Day on Monday, and happy July 4th to everybody later on in the week.
Yep, Canada Day on Monday. Have fun with that. Jim Wiesmeyer is going to be back with us on Monday morning. We need to get his 24-hour-plus reaction to the debate, and we'll have Brett Waltz from BAMWX.com. And as I mentioned this afternoon, Brian Grady from Pro Farmer.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-20.